So if I may say,
Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for December 14th, 2025. We're talking to Carrie, who has several big projects on your plate for 2026 that you're going to try to start like right out the gate. YouTube channel slash podcast, is that correct? You're going to like
no,
film it.
I already have a channel, a YouTube channel, so I will be putting a playlist for the podcast on the channel as well.
Okay, so podcast, YouTube channel, a class you're offering, and then a newsletter.
Yeah, the class is more of an ongoing program. And
Okay.
a program isn't really the right word, more like community, more like ongoing support, I guess. Which I've done many programs and many seminars and webinars and all that. But this is slightly new territory for, I'll do it at least for a year, if not,
Okay.
if not ongoing.
Got it. And like a monthly subscription type of thing, or?
Yeah, except for my founding members, it'll be a founder's discount for the year as well.
And Doreen, did you have something that you were just about to say?
I just wanted clarity around what the what do we call that? The revenue model, the what category is it? I hear podcast, but I don't know what it's about. I hear groups. So
Oh,
like
you want to know like what?
who's it for? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I also coach actors on the business side of the business. And so this podcast will be an extension of what I kind of already teach, but also be able to do it audio style. And then that will be turned into videos that can go on the YouTube channel. So the kind of goal is to get, I'm interested in, I usually coach actors that are a little bit more advanced. And I know that I'm missing out on helping people that are newer. Now, newer actors are not my usual forte if they're really new. However, I still want to help people. So I think the podcast and the YouTube channel can support a larger audience. And it all feeds into each other. So they're all very complementary, except for the audiobook. But that still feeds into it as well.
Sure.
It's
That's
just
just
not as
sort of a
obvious.
creative project you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so is the, are you thinking of the podcast going to be weekly, the newsletter going to be weekly? Like, how are you?
Newsletter weekly, the podcast, I don't want to commit to weekly, but it probably will be weekly if I keep it rather relatively stress-free. It'll
Okay.
definitely be at least monthly.
And are you doing the editing for your podcast as well?
Yeah, I don't
Like
have a
how much
problem with,
assistance?
yeah, audio I'm okay with. I can do that pretty quickly with the different editing softwares that I already use. And then just
Yeah,
convert
and
it to
then
four.
So what you're doing is you're creating this ecosystem
Yeah.
where people would enter and learn about you and learn about the issues that you can help them with and hopefully convert into paying members of your ongoing support group.
Of the ongoing support, yeah, unless they're more advanced, then they might end up being private clients. But I'm more selective of the private clients.
And what are you going to have to generate in terms of material or whatever? Like, what are you offering your ongoing community that's paid?
So far, and that's what I'm working on over this Christmas break. But so far, it will be the four sides of the acting business. So I'll have at least a little something in all four categories. So craft, mindset, marketing, and relationships. So it might be, sometimes
Okay,
Q
and
and
when?
A's. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, sometimes Q and A, sometimes an acting class, sometimes bring in a guest, sometimes just all the millions of marketing tools that I've helped people with over the years.
Okay. So I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of doing the least amount of work and getting the most from the work that I do. Least amount of work, maximum result. And I'm just wondering, like, what if, okay, so you're going to touch on those four quadrants of the actor's career, but what were you going to offer the person who's enrolling in the monthly class? Like, are your members going to get a call with you once a month or more? Or do they get worksheet? Like, what material were you planning on delivering to these people who are paying you every month?
Mostly Zoom classes, Zoom acting class and Zoom Q&A. It's also good for my clients that have already worked with me but want ongoing support at a lower rate, So I can bring some of them back as well in that. Also, mostly Zoom. It'll be mostly Zoom, but sometimes it'll be pre-recorded classes or worksheets or tip of the day.
And then I'm going somewhere with all of this, by the way. So what were you going to publish on your what were you going to publish on your YouTube channel? Like, what kind of stuff were you publishing?
Just the kind of stuff that I already do, but upping the game. So I would take the audio podcast, turn it into an MP4, and put it on the YouTube channel, which then can funnel into the group as well. So sometimes it's just a matter of, depending on the topic of that day, week, month, it could even be, here's the training for free, but we're going to talk about it for the people who are in the group who have questions about that marketing tool or training or whatever.
Yeah, I was definitely going to suggest that. I think if I were in your shoes, or one way you could do it is you would use the podcast. I'm just going to call the podcast and the YouTube channel kind of the same thing. So you would use that as sort of like, this is the thing I'm explaining. And, I would also point out that, this is where some people get stuck. This is where other people get stuck. You might have a question about this. And it's great to like listen and absorb this information, but to really apply it into your life, that's what we do inside our group. And so this month we'll be talking about these themes that we've just, so it's almost like everyone inside your group would listen to the podcast, like the monthly content of what we're going to talk about in the group that month. And then the people who also just listen to the podcast out in the world might be like, oh yeah, I need more help with this. And then they'd be encouraged. The podcast would kind of really draw people in because you're going to be talking about that specific thing inside the group. And then if you have the members of your group kind of having to listen to the podcast, you also get more plays of your podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very what's the word? I don't know. I need a vocab word here, ladies. It's that I'm gonna mess it up. I don't know, but it all helps each other. Like just yeah, synergistic.
Synergistic.
Thank you.
Yeah. But also very intentional, because what a lot of people do is coaches, especially, is they start podcasts and they just teach. They just teach and hope that, oh, people will want more. People don't need more of anything. So you really have to be intentional of surrounding the podcast with like, this is one piece of it. And the application of this is what we do inside the group.
Yes, I love that.
You're not answering all of their questions. You're leaving open loops for people to then want to get those loops closed specifically for their own situation.
Like they can come after every video or every audio podcast, it'll be, you know, to get more help on this, come into our group, or for the transcript of this, come into the group. To learn more about our special guests, come into the group, you know, that kind of thing. So it all funnels down into the group.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm encouraging you to even, you want to put the little pebble in their shoe. So it's not just like to learn more about it or to talk more about it. It's like if you were doing, let's say what you were talking about on the podcast was networking, mm-hmm. and you could be taught, or relationship building. So you could be saying like, so there's three, I'm just throwing this out as an example. Mm-hmm. There are three main tools that I use when I'm building relationships. And there's three ways that people often kind of stumble on those tools. And so let's talk about the three main tools that I use. And so you can be talking about the tools. And then you're like, okay, so there's three main ways that people stumble. They get this kind of, they don't do this thing, or they'll miss out on this one thing. You're not telling them what it is, but you're saying like, there's three ways that people, and we are going to explore each of those three ways. And I'm going to coach people on them and make sure that the members of my community are not going to fall into those pitfalls. But that's what we do inside the group, that kind of coaching. But you're leaving them, the listeners, the podcast going, well, what are the, wait, but wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the three ways? Like, what are the three mistakes I'm going to make?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to be that intentional, and you have to make, you don't have to do anything. It just will help people really be encouraged to get over their hump of paying money. When you're presenting some tools, but then also like, the problems that people run into when trying to use the tools, mm-hmm. because then they're going to be like, oh, well, I just got some great tools, but I want to avoid the problems.
Right, right.
And that is more specific than just going to learn more, because people always think they don't need to learn. They're like, I got the tools, no problem.
I got it. I'll go figure it out.
Yeah. You have to point out the problems that you are then going to solve when you coach inside the group. And I would probably make your podcast every other week, because then you can deliver the podcast. All your members have a week to listen to it. Then you have a coaching call inside the group, or Q&A, however you want to talk about. Then you can release another podcast, and then you can do, you see how you have a nice flow, but that lessens up the work you're doing.
Yes. Yes.
And that means, because you're using the podcast to stimulate the coaching in the group, you're not having to create special materials for your membership.
Right.
All you have to do inside your membership is coach and answer questions. Yeah. You don't have to teach material. But the podcast gives a container, so everyone's talking about the same topic, because it can get a little unwieldy, especially as you get more and more people in your group, if it's just like Q&A. And everybody can just ask random questions about everything. And then people are kind of like, I think if they know what they're going to get when they come to the Q&A or listen to the recording of the Q&A.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because oftentimes I find when people create membership groups or ongoing whatever, they have this thinking of like, oh, but people are paying me, so I want to like over deliver. I want to give them a lot of bang for their buck. And it's like, nobody needs any more information, really.
Right. I want to keep it as simple and effective as possible. So people come in, do actually get results, not just more information.
Yeah.
And support and community too, you know.
And maybe another way you could do it is your podcast has two different kinds of things. One, the first podcast of the month is you presenting something people need to know and the problems that you're then going to coach. Second week, you coach inside the group. The next podcast of the month, your second podcast, is either you talking about how people can experiment with this stuff for relationships or for their career. Like, okay, here's a challenge that I want you to do. And here's a thing. And this is how you would do it. And this is, I want you to go out and do that. Or you have a guest that's related to the topic.
Sorry, I forgot to mention that part of the reason for that podcast is to also give another press opportunity to my actors too. So that can be yet another benefit of it.
Oh, you mean you want to interview members?
When it's appropriate. Yeah, when it's appropriate.
That's fine.
Not even members, probably more my private clients.
But, okay, then that's excellent. I love hearing that. And that's what I would do for your second podcast of every month. Yeah. I would have somebody come on to share their success story of implementing the stuff that you just talked about in the first podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're talking about, you know, craft, and you present something, blah, 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 the second podcast of the month is an interview with someone who's like, yeah, excuse me. I used to do it like this. And as I started to integrate it, and then I used it, you know, on set, and then like, I don't know, a success story about the implementation.
And it could be any part of it. Like, it could be the ones that I've coached on their audition. Like, I have one older lady who started acting in her late 70s, and I coached her on her audition, and she booked a Paramount movie, you know, so that could be press for her. But also, it looks great to talk about how do we do that?
Yeah, 100%. So the way I would do your schedule is I would actually think about who are the people who have the best success stories in my circle, and then plot them out during the months of the year. I'll do her and then him and then her and then her and her and him. And then you do the podcast, you teach something for the first podcast of the month that relates to that interview. Instead of having to find the person to support the teaching, you find the person and do the teaching that would support.
Yeah, do it a little in reverse.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is how I would schedule the whole thing. And I think that's excellent, because then you're showing that you know what you're talking about, but then you also are showing the proof of the pudding. And all you're doing inside your group is having two coaching calls a month, the weeks after each podcast airs.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be able to talk it out loud.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the newsletter should be related to those two podcasts. Now, were you were thinking of doing a newsletter every week?
Yeah, that I just need to bring it back. I've had one for years, but I flaked. You know how we drop the ball sometimes on certain things, and I want to resurrect the newsletter. And I think it definitely needs to be every week, but I'm keeping it simple so it's not a burden to do it every week.
And what about every other week?
I feel sometimes the structure, I feel like the week is every week is right for the newsletter, because I have another thing that goes out every week, and it just, that pattern works well.
Okay.
Especially and, because I can prep it ahead of time too. You know, I could batch it.
Yeah, because this is a great ecosystem. It is also a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, because each element of what you're doing, like recording a podcast, editing the podcast, uploading the podcast with the show notes, it's like each step is easy. It's not like these are hard
when it's
steps.
All together. Yeah. I hear you.
Not only all together, but all together on a regular basis, ongoing ongoing. It's a lot.
Well, I think what I'm used to my YouTube channel, so I'm used to the structure of that. That's pretty easy to me. I'm used to doing emails, newsletters, so that's pretty easy to me right now. So the once learning the mechanics of just getting the podcast episode up on the podcast platforms, once that becomes a regular thing, for me to be able to even just lay down a 10-minute talk on the podcast could be relatively easy. It is a lot of pieces for sure. It is a big undertaking. So that's why I'm trying to limit, other than the newsletter, limit the minimum requirements to help everybody and to get things out there.
Yeah, because the thing that's most important is the conversion to paying clients. It's not really consistency for algorithms or whatever. It's con is what I'm putting out there converting people into paying clients. Because then otherwise you're just doing a bunch of stuff. Yeah. So as new people convert, you just want to ask them like, oh, so what caught your eye and what made you make the decisions? Just so you are kind of keeping on track of what's the most effective.
Yeah, I can do that in the intake. Absolutely. I think that's real important.
Yeah, and it's great that you're putting your podcast on YouTube. And the reason so many people, because people were posting podcasts, just the audio on YouTube with no video for a while. But the reason is because YouTube's a search engine and podcasts aren't, they're some like search engines for them, but you really, people have to really find your podcast either through word of mouth or a recommended, or they stumble on it.
Where
But in
YouTube is,
YouTube,
it goes and does some of the work for us. Yeah, I
it
love
does,
it.
yeah. But you also have to fill out, the not keywords, but you have your little blurb,
Do the
whatever
not
that's
the
called.
automation, but the
Comment, like not the comments, but like the caption.
the description.
Yeah, like that really has to be done right or be done thoroughly.
Optimization, that's the word
Yes, that's exactly it.
I
My brain. Yes,
My too.
optimization. Because I know people who just post it on YouTube. I'm like, it's not enough. It's not, you have to make sure you're actually doing the things that will help you if you're going through the trouble of getting a video on the platform, you know? Yeah. So this is good. And I think that you're approaching it in a smart way. Creating a little ecosystem. And so hopefully those little refinements and suggestions will help make it easier.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're super welcome. Yeah. Doreen, what's up?
Okay, so I was inspired to have my own questions. What do I start with? Let me start out with this one. Through, how life works, just a random coincidence, I was put in touch with the head of the film department for Santa Monica College. And I found out, he told me actually, that I know his sister. And I had no idea that she had a brother who was in the business because she lives in Mexico City. Now, what I want to do is I want to reach out to him for a, and I don't even know what to call it, but let's call it a lecture opportunity to his students. Or, yeah. So I would love like possibilities of how to approach that.
With him.
Yeah. You were so great in helping me get a title for my LA Conservatory class that if I hadn't tested it, I would have thought, that's too long. It's not going to work. And it's just really great. I don't know if you remember the title of it.
What
It's
was it?
Why You're Not Working More and How We Can Change That.
Yeah, it's a good title. Yeah. So what would you want? What would do you think would be valuable to him and his students?
That's a great question because same thing with Carrie or Kari. I'm sorry, I don't know. I'm pronouncing it
Carrie.
correctly. I
Carrie, thank you.
Carrie, I don't work with new creatives. And a lot of it is because I just like talking to people who have the same vocabulary, and we just passed a lot of stuff. But I just cannot pass up this synchronicity of like, well, let me be clear too. I am also moving to beyond small and private coaching to speaking in front of groups. And so this also excites me. I would like to, so I don't know what his students need. I can speak what creatives need. I think that
And who are his students? What are they learning?
they're filmmakers, right? So they're writers, directors. I would have to ask, or I could just look it up. He's head of the film and something, probably film and directing program at Santa Monica College. And I would like to not only expose myself to them because I believe it's only a 2-year college. So they're either going to go to university or they're going to start doing it. So that I could expose myself to them as they enter the industry and also expose myself to him so that he can see what I do, what I teach. Perhaps turning on a little light bulb for him, like, you might be good over there or over there.
And would you be working with them on like kind of mindset stuff? Like what do you think you would want to say if you were given a group of aspiring filmmakers?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm like in between categories because it's easy for people to understand what a coach is. A coach will solve problems. A coach will give tools. I work with creatives who know they want something more, but have a hard time thinking they can actually have it.
So like self-esteem.
No. I also I facilitate conversations around the nature of, so the nature of the business, not how the business works. For example, it's not a meritocracy, right? It fluctuates just like I'm losing her name. Miata teaches, our incomes are this. There is no security, but where can we find the security? Where does security exist? Wow, I think that might be a good one. Where does security really exist? Where does an idea come from? I'm just like rambling now. Like, what's good about playing playing with the rules and going against the rules. What are the rules? I love that one because there are no rules.
So, as far as approaching him, I think it's almost as easy enough as shooting an email and saying, "Hey, do you ever have guest speakers come in to talk to your students about the industry?" You do. I might be interested in that. Like, that's it. Because he either does or does not bring guest speakers in. So if the answer to that question is either, yeah, we bring in guest speakers, or I never thought about that, but I'd be open to it, then you wouldn't make a proposal. Then he'd probably be like, yeah, we bring in, what would you want to talk about? And then you would propose one or two or three things. Depending on what you really feel would be a best match for your students or what you really think would benefit them, here are three ideas. But it's as simple as that, because either he does bring people in or he doesn't. And if he doesn't, moot point. But if he does, then you can, and he's interested, then you can propose something. But I think the first question is the first question. Because
Awesome.
if he does bring people in, but he's full for the year, or he doesn't want to bring you in for whatever reason, he could, easily say, "Oh, we do occasionally, but our schedule's full for, the foreseeable future." You'll get a nice polite decline. And then, so let's say he's like, "Oh yeah. What are you interested? What do you think you might want to share?" Then you can either say, "Well, I'd love to talk to you just because I'd want to match, have a good, make it a really good fit for your students and where they're at. And, I just love to like talk to you about that." Because I think certainly someone teaching a class would be open to kind of like sharing that information before you make a proposal. Or he might just go, "Ah, just give me some ideas," and then just give him some ideas. The trick is, or the thing is that you have to find a way to contextualize your topic in a sizzly way that would be interesting to the students. Like, the reason that title that you mentioned before is so good, it's because it directly speaks to the problem they're having. We want to work more. And you're saying, "Here's why you're not working more." "Oh, yes, I want to work more. Let me give her some money so I can learn." So there's these group of students. They haven't yet started their career. They're taking these classes. They're likely not very interested in knowing where their security exists, or where an idea comes from. Don't care. They don't care until you attach that to something they do care about. So, those who excel in school don't always excel in the industry. Oh, wait, what? What? Half of the students will be like, "Oh shit, I'm excelling in school. What do I not know about the industry?" And then the other half will be like, "Thank God, because I'm not doing so well, But that's an issue, because then you can talk about meritocracy, that it's not a meritocracy, that you have to make your own security, But I think, but they are in school, so you have to relate it to them and where they're at. Or the five or the three things that every student can do to jumpstart their industry career. Great, because I'm a student. I can't wait to get out of here and get out. But what are the things? I want to jumpstart my industry career while I'm still in school. How to jumpstart your industry career while you're still in school? Holy shit. Yes, please tell me everything. And then how is about, well, the thing that you have the most control over working with right now is your mind. So let's get some stuff straight in there so that you'll be mentally ready when you're out into the industry and not have to spend your first 2 years figuring all that out and getting your brain right, you know, getting your mindset, you know? So you see how you can talk about what you want to talk about, but you have to containerize it into something that's relevant and interesting. And the students aren't your client. The teacher's your client. The teacher's the one allowing you in. So it has to be relevant to him and enticing for the students. But you should just ask, do you bring in guest speakers? And if so, I think I'd have some stuff for your students that might benefit your students.
So which brings me to my next question of conversion. It didn't even occur to me that I would be paid for this.
Probably won't. You're a guest speaker in an educational setting. Paying you
But sometimes colleges have money.
for guest speakers, I'm not so sure. I mean,
I have
maybe,
no idea how it works. No idea.
You can research
But that.
that ahead of time. Just I've done that for college a college before.
I'm
Where they
sorry, who's
did,
speaking?
I'm sorry, I just wanted to say I've taught for a college before, and they do sometimes have a nice little stipend, or will even bring you if you have to travel. They have a budget to put you up and everything.
For one class, like for
My
one.
experience was they paid for a hotel and travel, and then like $500 for really
Do you
just,
mind if I ask how long ago this was?
it was a while ago. I'm thinking
Yeah.
maybe, I'm totally guessing, maybe 6 years ago,
Yeah,
maybe.
pre-pandemic, right?
Yeah, pre-pandemic for sure.
Yeah. And you
Okay.
were just talking
That's,
to one class
yeah.
of 30?
Yeah. So every once in a while they have a budget. It just depends on the
Yeah.
educational program. And
Yeah.
if not, maybe you can have something to funnel them in that they all get a free gift that at least puts them on your radar. Hope
Yeah,
that
thank
helps.
you.
Sure.
Thanks, Carrie.
I got a slot teaching at the SAC Conservatory in April, and since July I've been doing it every month, and they just renewed me for the following year.
Nice. Congratulations.
It's great, and I absolutely love it, and I know I'm making an impact. Or the participants have received impact. I don't know how to convert because we're very limited in that we're not allowed to hand out any promotional stuff. The only thing we're allowed to do is to leave business cards and say, write our website on the board or whatever. We can't talk about offers. So
You
I've
couldn't
had.
write your website on the board, like christineoller.com/free offer. That's how I'd do it. Just write my website on the board, but slash, so they're all like, oh, free offer, let's go there.
Right. So now you made me think I got to create another page that has a free offer.
Well, I'm just saying, if you get to write a website on the board, why not
Yeah.
direct to it? Like, tell them there's a free offer right there. Because that's technically not breaking the rules. It's just
Yeah.
bending them a little.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You don't have to create a new page. You would just create that URL that then goes to the page you want, like you already have set up.
Yeah. Actually, to sign up for my newsletter, you get a free coaching session. So I think that's on the landing page. So yeah.
Or your website slash free session. Just direct that URL to the page.
So the on that. Okay. Yeah, so it's like minuscule. The people who have actually, people take my cards. They really love what happened in those 2 hours, but it's like, and I'm, you know, I question, is this the right crowd?
Obviously not. I mean, I don't mean to be so like old, but the SAG Conservatory is a free to low cost avenue for people to get free to low cost advice. And if you've been sort of teaching there and presenting this stuff and there hasn't been conversions, then either you're presenting things in a way that isn't leaving them with like, oh, I want to know more about, I need to get the questions answered, or it isn't the right crowd. And they're not wanting to invest in their career in that way. It's amazing. Even when tremendous coaching happens in the room and people are like, oh my God, that was so good. It is a whole other thing when you're asking them to give you money.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking. That's why I'm here. It's like, so how do I convert?
Yeah. Well, are the people who come to your monthly thing a lot of the same? Do you get a lot of repeat people coming back? No,
I
it's
had one repeat, and I've had a couple join my Monday morning community meeting calls, which is for those are free.
And what do you do on those calls?
It's a mastermind. It's a free ramble. People are allowed to bring up whatever they want to talk about.
Are
Again, these
those
are
converting?
sometimes.
Yeah. See,
But again, here's where I get caught up. I enjoy it so much.
you do.
And I have virtually everyone say, I'm telling people about you. And occasionally I'll get the tips in the jar for the freebie. But that's where it does. I'm a little stuck on that.
Yeah, and I love coaching too. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I've done hours and hours and hours and hours of free coaching because I love it. And that's fine. And you can do as much. I'm not, saying you can't do free things. You just enough of your business has to be paid in order to sustain all the stuff that isn't paying you. And you don't want to get lost in just the coaching of it and not be able to have the cash flow part.
That's why I'm at this class called Creating Cash Flow.
No, I totally understand, but I'm also saying that there might be some changes that have to happen in order to create the cash flow. And I don't mean just changes in what you're doing, but you might. It might be changes in the amount of time you're spending on this activity, the coaching, versus the marketing and the dialing in of the conversion. That just might be a rebalance. I don't know, because I don't know how much on those. But I suspect if you're not if it's not like people are just keeping coming back and back, some coaches do regular coaching and people just come back and back and back and they're not converting because they're getting everything they need. They just keep coming back every month to the free stuff. But in the SAG Foundation, you're not having repeats. So it's like,
That's not the foundation.
right.
It's,
Oh.
yeah, that's a separate entity. It's
Right. No, but
SAG.
the SAG Foundation, you said you're doing it monthly, but you're not getting,
No.
no.
SAG Foundation is a separate entity from SAG-AFTRA. And this
Oh.
is the SAG-AFTRA LA Conservatory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so you're doing monthly there. And it's free, right? People can come for free.
It's $45 for the entire year to take as many classes as you want.
Yeah, so it's a lot of free training. So you are attracting people who need retraining. I just want to point that out.
I know, I know. That's
And
why I'm like wondering
it's
if I'm in the.
when people are like, because let's go into the mindset. Someone is like, oh shit, I can pay $45 and get all of these classes for free. Most of those people are going to do just the free stuff the first year because they're just like, I paid $45 and I want to get all this free stuff. And then some of those people won't even continue with acting. Some of those people will just always just do free classes. And so it's a tricky thing to convert people into paying when they're getting a lot for when they're in the mode of getting a lot for free. So you may have to be more explicit. Exactly what I said to Carrie, where it's like you actually have to sometimes say to people, okay, so let's just say you've done your thing. Woo, light bulbs are popping. Everyone's like, this is amazing. What you end with is like, this has been electric. You feel different than when you walked in today. You've heard people have breakthroughs. I'm seeing little light bulbs go on in people's heads, and I know you are too. This is good stuff. And what so many actors do is just move on to the next thing. They move on to the next free class and the next free thing and learn a little bit about this and learn a little bit this. And they're gathering information, but they're not actually going, this is really going to impact my career. How do I actually apply it to me and my circumstances and my life? If you don't apply the guidance, it's just guidance and it's meaningless. It's the application. And there is a level that is a natural transition that you have to make at some point to start your career really humming. And that's you end the endless gathering and you start focusing on applying and getting better and better at the business and better at the craft and better at the mindset. And that is when you start paying for the guidance with people like me that you find and you're like, this is amazing. It's time to apply. And I might be only talking to one or two of you in the room, but I'm saying this so that the one or two of you that are ready will know that more of this is available at the next level.
Yeah, that again, fine line of me. Am I selling when I say that? But yeah, I get it's
No,
a.
you're teaching still. You're saying, here's the thing. This is great, but you could stay here for way longer than we'll serve you. The free, the free, the free, the free, the free. It's great that SAG-AFTRA offers this, but there comes a time when you have to level up and start applying. And we can't do it here. We just have an hour together or however long you have. But there's more to dig into. With these light bulb moments. Like you have to say something that makes them think, oh yeah, I need more than this. Because what I think you're doing is just leaving them feel like, oh, I got everything I need. And if they feel like they have everything they need from you, why would they look for more? That's part of the reason that you'll hear me say things like, I want you to try this. I want you to experiment with this. This would be a good thing to experiment with. Get some data, come back. We'll talk more. Because it's like, come back, come back. When I was organizing, I learned that it was like we would do a session. And then I'd be like, so, the next time, were I to come again, like if they'd only scheduled me for one off. were it to come again, we could then integrate that closet with this room. Like, I'm always leaving them with the what could be the next thing. I have to paint that picture though. And I think what you're doing is leaving it for them to paint the picture, and they won't. They'll just be like, that was amazing. She's amazing. On to the next thing.
Yeah, this is all very helpful. And those were the questions that I wrote down. I'm sure I'll have more as
No,
I
I think that's
go
really,
along,
really
but
good. I definitely think you should ask about, because if you want to speak more and more and more, it's you just want more and more opportunities to speak. And it would be great if there was money to have you, to give you a stipend to have you come talk to that class. And it would be great just to plant the idea in the head, because maybe he's like, well, I don't have any guest speakers come in to speak to my class, but you know what? Because then you're being explicit about what you want. And I think that that is what's needed. You have to ask for exactly what you want. And you have to instill in the people you're talking to that there is more, there's another level that they may not be accessing. And be explicit about the damage that just gathering, 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 gathering free information and never really digging in and applying it. That's how careers stall. All careers, not just acting.
One of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite books is, "Beware education, that's all preparation."
Yeah, exactly. Good stuff. And congratulations on that serendipitous meeting. And congrats after SAG thing.
It's really cool, but again, it's like I gotta convert. I gotta convert. I am playing with monthly what do you call them? What do I call them? It's not a webinar, a workshop, online workshop. And I threw one together a couple days ago, and again, it's imperfect. You know, I wished I had more people, and I did charge for it very minimally, but it's like, wow, I can do this.
Yeah. Good. And I'm charging. I'm glad you're charging for it.
Well, the thing is too, it's like I'm wondering, like, okay, so I started with this one subject, and I charged very little. And I'm like, well, is that something? Say you do just like a one-off, and then you expand it to something larger and intensive, or something where you're gonna get more income that way. Is that I'm like thinking, questioning out loud. Is like.
That's definitely one way people do it, where it's like the introductory workshop and then the more intensive expansion of this. That's certainly one way to do it. Another way is to present the information is there's phase one, phase two, phase three. You can come to the phase one for free, phase two and phase three, or for a minimal amount. And two and three just cost more. But there, you're planting the idea like, oh, this is a three-part system. And it would behoove me to get all three parts. So you can kind of present it like that. Or
There's a
like,
lot to play.
yeah, or like what we were talking about with Carrie, where it's like, here's the issue, here's the information, but what really moves the needle on your career is if you get coached and to take the particular action, or get coached around your issues with your fear around doing the thing. So it can be like information, and then they pay for the coaching. So there's lots of different ways to kind of present information where the person's like, Oh, there's another part to this. I'm not getting the full meal. And I think during you give people full meals, you're feeding them well, but they're satisfied. And you want the food you feed them to be delicious, but you don't want it to be a full meal. So you want them to be like, hungry for a little bit more. Yeah.
Okay,
So
I'm going to play
experiment.
with that.
Yeah. Try
Thank
stuff
you.
out. So the floor is open. Anybody else? Hi, Doug. I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm just saying hi.
I will say that I resonate with what you're talking about, Doreen. I think it's universal in a way of trying to create something that other people are going to buy into, and then ideally come be a repeat purchase model. Like they'll keep coming back for multiple sessions of coaching, or they'll come back for other workshops or whatever it might be. There's that, like you've done the upfront work to get them interested, and you're like, hey, let me gain the benefits of this revenue stream at least 3 to 5 times, or maybe more, because I already did the front work. Now I just get to collect and do the work that I want to be doing in the first place. But it's always that hump of getting over it. And I know from my part where I struggle is I imply, like that's my tendency, is to, instead of outright saying this is what I'm going to offer, it's like there's a way in which it's almost passive aggressive, and I know it's my poverty mentality. I know it's my like trying to protect myself from like making a mistake or like coming across as foolish, whatever the hell that all is. But yeah, there is real power in being able to say this is what I'm doing and is why I'm doing it. So for me, when I think about it, and this actually dovetails into kind of I actually want to talk about some sales options for January for my biz, but this all I really want to sit back down again. I did this a long time ago, but it's been a while. Like I have a core business of focus groups and independent medical exams where everyone videotape things. But the people who do focus groups don't always use the IMEs, and the people who do the IMEs don't always use them for focus groups. And so part of that is education and may raising awareness. But also I did workshops a long time ago with a lawyer friend of mine, and I don't necessarily want to do them with him again, but I would like to do the workshops, and I think that I could conceivably do those on my own. And so for me, I'm thinking like if I met somebody in the workshop, how am I making sure they're informed about my focus groups, my IEs, and maybe day in a life video or whatever else they need, right? So that it's not just they're coming for the workshop. It gives me an opportunity to express them other things that they might be able to buy from me if they want to, right? But also just creating a workshop that will hopefully be something that will pull them in the first place. Like I'm worried about spending all this time. This is where I start stopping. I don't want to spend a lot of time on something that's actually not going to work out, right? Like that's driving me crazy. So I have to get over that. And one of the things I've been looking at is this idea of trying to generate additional revenue, and the idea being, of course, trying to get more people to come in and buy something. So maybe having a sale for new clients as opposed to for existing clients. But I don't want to isolate. Like I've never done the sale thing before. And I wouldn't necessarily want it to be sort of a regular thing necessarily, but even having somebody go, hey, if you sign up for two focus groups, I mean, people usually settle for one, and two is better because then you get some baseline and you can see where how you've progressed from the baseline. You get new information to see if that actually helped move it the way you thought it would, or if you're the way you interpreted what you learned before that you're applying it like better. But most people do one. And so I would definitely benefit from getting people more in the like training them to do two in a way. Right. Like that would potentially benefit me in the long run. And hopefully people come up, go, yeah, Doug, I'd like to do two focus groups next time. Right. So I'm just trying to think that way. But again, like we talked about before, I'm feeling the pressure of, January coming up quick, and I'm putting stupid pressure on myself to suddenly be making up the entire shortfall, like in the first month. And that's not going to happen, but I can't help but go there mentally. And so I'm very much trying to slow down and get back to like, what can I actually do to generate some of this extra income? And I need to send out, I think I said last time, I've continually thought about sending out cards for like Christmas slash New Year's. We're getting close enough to Christmas now. I think I'm going to make sure it's New Year's, right? But I have to get the cards. I need to address them all. And my addressing, like my client list is like all over the place. I don't have a centralized one. So there's things like that where I'm like, see, this is why I need to do the extra behind the scenes work. So when I want to do something like this, it's faster and easier. But I can certainly use this as a way to start to do that, right? It doesn't have to be one or the other. I know I'm rambling. You can stop me. Please.
I have thoughts, but let me put a pin in that. I want to say something else to Doreen that occurred to me through something you were saying.
Perfect.
When you have those speaking opportunities where it's like verboten to kind of sell anything, what you do is use language inside of your normal presentation where you can say, I was working with one of the members of my group that you just say stuff like that. So people are like, oh, she has a group and with members, or I had two private clients that had this same problem. You just stick that in there. You just drop these seeds where you're not selling anything, but you're letting people know that you work with private clients, you have a group. Like, so you just use that language through the whole speech. And that is transmitting the message. So just that's another good way to do it. So Doug, I have a question. And I don't know much about your business, so I'm just good, but so you do focus groups. Why couldn't you, when you're selling and proposing that you do focus groups, because you just said it's better if they do two, because then you have this information and then you have another data set, right? It's better if they do two, right?
Absolutely.
So why aren't you just saying that in your company they have to do two? You sell your
That's a great question.
focus
So that gets me thinking about like having different packages. But part of what I try to do is I try to actually be appealing to the smaller shingled lawyer who doesn't have a war chest that's really big, or has a client who may not, if they lose, may not be able to pay for the focus group later. And I mean, like, this is me trying to like make up for the people's shortfalls, I know. So that's a whole other conversation. But there's a way in which trying to keep it affordable will more likely get them to come around. And my whole thing has been, I'm okay doing more focus groups, right? I think I make a decent amount at what I'm doing. I know other people charge a lot more than me. But I feel like I want to have, the problem though is that people aren't doing the two, right? It's like they don't do more than one. Now, sometimes that's because they're really
I'm going
close
to
to the
ask you some
trial.
questions. I'm going to ask you some questions. What of all the things that you offer, what is the most lucrative thing that you offer? What is the cha-ching when people buy it?
If it was simply out of the gate, the amount of money, it would be a all day IME, because that is pretty much no sunk cost. There's barely any hard cost for me. It's all profit. So I'm just getting paid by the hour, and I charge a really good hourly rate, right? Most IMEs go for 2 hours. So if I do an IME, I'm getting maybe like $500 a day, but I only have like a handful of IMEs every month. That doesn't mean there's not more opportunity for me to have more IMEs, but again, I haven't advertised. So like I could very much advertise even the smallest little bit and see this really large uptick. No idea. Sorry, I'm answering your question. So
That's okay. I'm just going to ask you a series of questions and just give me like a one sentence answer.
Oh, that's
So
really
what
hard, but I'm gonna try.
is the most lucrative offer that you have? And what I heard, it's the all day IME.
I
That's
would
the
say
most
all day
lucrative.
IME, then I would say focus groups are the largest amount, but they take the most time. So the hourly rate's less.
So what's the easiest thing that you offer? Easiest for you. Thing that you offer.
The easiest thing for me is the regular 2 hour IME. It's not as much money, but it definitely covers me for a reasonable wage. And I can, if it worked out, I could do two in a day if they lined up right.
And what's the most popular? What do people buy the most from you?
It's probably split pretty evenly between focus groups and IMEs. They kind of ebb and flow depending on the year. Some years there's a few more IMEs than focus groups and vice versa.
And what does IME stand for?
Independent medical exam.
And what does that mean?
So let's say you get in a wreck and you get injured and it's the other person's fault and their insurance company doesn't want to pay out. And so they make you go to a doctor to be looked at to basically show that you really are injured the way you say you are. That's an independent medical exam. And sometimes lawyers hire people to videotape those.
Oh, you're hired to videotape them. Okay.
Oh yeah, I'm not the I'm not the doctor. I'm
Right.
just a vendor.
And of all the
Third
things,
party.
all the things that you offer, what do you enjoy doing the most of all your offers?
Well, again, if we're not, since CCVLP is no longer part of the equation, what I really love is helping the pro se people. I'd like to try and incorporate that, but that's going to take more work. So we're back burn area in that right now. So of the things I know right now I can do, I would say I love the IMEAs for the ease. I love the focus groups because I get to engage with people and find out what they think. And I really enjoy that interaction and that intellectual discourse.
Okay. So I want to point out to everybody who's listening to this recording that there's different categories for the offerings you have as far as like how you should orient your business. There's the most lucrative offer, the easiest offer, like I could do this in my sleep. There's what's most popular, which might not be lucrative or might not be easy, it's just most popular. And then what you personally love to do. And you can orient your business towards any of those. I'm going to focus on what's most lucrative because I need to make money. I'm going to focus on what's easiest to me because I just have low energy and it needs to be easier. I'm dealing with a medical issue. I'm going to focus my business on just what's most popular. Like I just want more clients. I want to focus my business on what I enjoy the most. The thing I want to point out is you can have your business focused on something that's really popular or focused on something that you enjoy that's not the most lucrative. And then you're like, but I want to make money. It's like, well, then maybe you have to focus on what's most lucrative
We
or
used to talk
just.
about that back in the we used to talk about that in the printing industry when I was working for Wizards, and that was like people come with their art project essentially that was their role-playing game they wanted to produce, and it was like, hey, you can produce that art project that you want to, and we'll help you with that, but you're going to sell 1,000 units, or you can do a mass market appeal, do all the things we're telling you to do, and you're going to probably sell 50 to 100,000 units. Total up to you, right? But one is we know which one's the art project and which one's the actual like mass market appeal.
Yeah, and you don't want to fool, like, you don't want to be like, but I'm not making money. It's like, yeah, but you're focused on this. That's why.
Right.
And so, in your case, when I have a client like yourself, where you're like, I need to make up for a shortfall for this year, I just need to start bringing in cash. Then it's about, okay, well, what can you eat? Easily do that has the lowest overhead that will make you the biggest profit. It might not be the thing you most want to do, but
That's
if your
actually true, yeah.
focus is money, your focus has to be money. And then when the money is being generated, then you can turn your attention to developing or doing the stuff that you more like to do. But it's like we have to be real because you have a limited amount of time, energy, and money to put towards your business. So if you want to, like, if cash flow is what you really need and want right now, then it really has to be dialed in for that. And the other stuff needs to kind of go on the back burner. And so it's this question of even the Christmas card thing, the holiday New Year's card thing, it's like, I get that it's a good opportunity to, let people know you're still alive and still doing this. And
Yeah, I was
that's
going to do it with past clients and current clients, thanking them for their business, but also reminding them I'm here.
right. And that's a very soft touch. It's a very kind of, hey, I'm not selling you anything, but
It's
I'm just,
implying.
yeah, it's implying.
Yeah,
And
I'm very good at implying and speculating. Super good.
yeah. And I think if you have a business that's kind of humming along and you have the income that you want, those kind of like implied soft touches are good to have. But if you're like, I just need people who will give me money now, that's not the project. That's not the, especially if you have to get your database together before you do the cards. That is a lot of hours that actually need to be put toward. Who do I know who needs something I offer who will buy it in January? That is the question. There's time for the Christmas card soft touch later, but right
Where
now,
does
might need to
that?
be explicit offers to people that you are warm and hot with.
Right. Well, and so, and where do you find sales or putting time into making a sale go into play with that? Where does that fall in that spectrum?
Like doing a sale kind of thing.
Yeah, just trying to inspire people to say, hey, January,
I, first of all, I don't like the word sale. for service-based businesses, it because you teach people to like that you're going to discount things.
Totally agree with that. It's sort of an anchoring point. I've been resistant to it up to this point, but it's of course a tool, and so that's why I'm bringing it to you, because I'm like,
Right, because I have an alternate. I just don't like the word sale. The mechanics of a sale, sure, it's incentivized purchasing, which works. I just don't like the word sale. Special offer. I have a special offer in January. That's much classier. It's more elevated than a sale. And so the special offer is this package, and then the question is, who of the people that you have worked with have the money and the need? Who are motivated right now? What is the pain point that they have that you can swoop in and take care of for January? Why do people need to hire you? What are you solving for them?
It brings up an interesting point of having data on the customer, which I don't necessarily have, because when they're using me, it's for a very specific case, not necessarily for their entire case load. And so it's hard for me to know.
Okay, then let's work. Okay, that's valid. Of all the people I've worked with, I don't really know. So then, you have this service that you do. Who else out there needs it? Like, it might be like, how do you find the people who have the cases where the people have been injured and they need somebody like, who needs you?
Well, and what I've started to do is be a little more vocal with my clients. I currently have, like, the last focus group I did, I've asked them, because one of the places lawyers go is on their listservs. They share a lot of information, and that's how my business has actually started to grow a lot more rapidly, is all. And inevitably somebody says, "Oh yeah, so and so referred me," or, "I heard about you on the listserv." I'm like, "That's great." So now I'm actually asking at the end of every service I give, if you liked what this was, please mention me. It's one of the ways that I don't like market traditionally, and it's one of the ways I get customers, and I really love the referrals and making a difference, blah blah blah. And I generally get referrals, which is great. I think my business is growing organically that way, but I definitely need to infuse it. Like OTLA, the conventions for the Oregon Trial Lawyers Association, and maybe ones for Washington. I've been like, when are those coming up? Can I advertise somehow? Can I sponsor? Can I, like, get in front of them somehow? So you're in front of a group of people. But again, all of those are sort of like a little further down the road, if you will. And so I'm trying to think of what can I do short term and long term. I'm trying to have a fuller plan where.
So, okay, give me an idea. So you have these conventions. Who is your client? Who is going to them? Your clients are lawyers?
Lawyers, and I would say in some cases, I think of it as I'd like to sort of access the clients too. So whether it be coaching, or whether it would be whether it's the lawyer hiring me, or the client themselves wants to utilize me. I've had a few people over the years that wanted to work with me independent of their lawyers, like in prep for trial or whatnot. So I'm all over the place. Like, my brain starts to think of all the
You're not.
nuances, so it's very hard for me.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm just trying to wrap my brain around it. So, is your most lucrative client a lawyer who needs you for a focus group? What are
Yeah,
the
the law firms are definitely my primary source of income.
So a law firm. And what do you do in the focus groups?
They'll bring me a case, and then I will actually work with them to develop the materials to be able to present that information to the focus group, and to gather that up and provide them with sort of an opportunity to talk to real people and get their real opinions.
About
And
what? Real opinions about what?
the case itself, whatever it might be.
Are they,
Are
I'm
you
trying to
prepping
find.
them to talk to a jury? So you're trying to give the lawyers information that they can Oh, I
use
see what
when
you're
they
saying.
talk to a jury? Is that the
Yeah,
prepping?
it's a mock jury focus group.
Okay, a
Sorry, I thought
mock
I said
jury.
that.
Right. So it's preparation for a jury
It's
trial.
preparation for trial. Yeah, it's courtroom readiness and legal support services, like basically getting
Okay.
ready for trial.
Okay. And if I'm a l law firm or I'm a lawyer, what is happening where I'm like, oh, you know what? we gotta focus group this before we
Great
take.
question. They run into a danger point. They either have a mediation coming up and the defense isn't buckling under the pressure from the plaintiff says, we want this much. They're like, no, you're going to take the 100K that we have for the insurance. We're not going a dollar more. And the client has more than 100,000 in bills. They're not going to settle for that, right? They're literally not going to settle the case. They're going to fight for it in court. But then they're like, yeah, but there's this one thing, whether it's a bias of some sort or a particular sticking point or in the case, it's a gray territory. It's the thing that keeps them up at night, right? And so that's what I offer to them. Like, let's talk about the things that keep you up at night and give you some information you wouldn't have otherwise that will help you to better identify if you're early on. It'll better help you to identify the trajectory of your case of how what you're even spending your time on, right? And then if it's later, more close to the trial, it helps you to better understand how to present the material you do have in a way that really the individuals in the jury can digest that information a lot better and more easy.
Okay. If you, what are in this scenario, what are the three things that are keeping those lawyers up at night? Holy shit, at the holy shit, holy shit. What are the three things? What are they thinking in bed when they should be sleeping? What are they
Usually it's
ruminating?
about the money aspect, whether it's the money they need or the money their client needs or the money that like how much money they're going to get from the whole thing. They're thinking about how the danger point, whatever that might be, whether it's because of how the client presents or a particular thing about the wreck or the whatever that's going on that people might look at and go, well, maybe that really is the plaintiff's fault, right? That sort of thing. They're definitely thinking about ways in which they have a lack of confidence around the plaintiff or the plaintiff's case. And then the third thing would probably be when they're worried about really good evidence the defense might have that would work in their behavior, work in their favor. And those are kind of the plaintiff and defense is it's sort of the two sides of the same coin, but it's definitely slight nuances on both sides.
So, put in words of the person lying in bed, they're going, oh my God, am I going to get enough money out of this thing? Am I going to win enough money? Is that what they're thinking? Am I going to win enough money? Oh God, I'm not confident that
Or
the
even not, I'm gonna have not even that I am I gonna get enough money. I don't even know how much to ask for. Like, I don't know if people value this. I don't want to ask for 10 million and find out that they think it's only worth 10,000 because then they're gonna think we're just money grubbers or whatever. Like there's a whole like
I don't want to overshoot my ask.
I don't want to overshoot. I don't want to undershoot. I want the perfect amount, right? I mean, it's like, it's literally high
Okay.
expectations around that.
I don't want to overshoot or undershoot my ask. And I'm just ruminating on that. Or
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I'm losing confidence in an aspect of the case or the client. Or I just don't think there's just I'm losing confidence in an aspect of my case. And then the third thing is just like, what does the defense have? What am I going to miss? What if I missed? So basically, what you do is I help lawyers with the three things that keep them up at night the most. They're worrying about this, they're worrying about this, they're worrying about this. I come in and help you with all three so that you go into that case knowing exactly what to ask for, knowing how to clear those danger points with the jury, and well prepared for the defense, right? Right? Something along those lines. Like, you see how you're speaking to, like, I know what's keeping you up at night, and I can help you sleep. I can contribute to this to make your job easier. Because that's what they're really paying you for, to let them go to sleep at night and to make their job easier. They're not
Absolutely.
you to get data and to do this. They're paying you because they want
Right.
you to sleep at
Well,
night and feel confident.
one aspect of this is clarifying what I'm offering or how explaining to them what I'm offering. For sure, I get that. I think the part where I'm really struggling with is, where to. Yes and no. Like I know it's listservs. I know it's like OTLA and doing conventions and whatever else, which is where people go to. But it's like how to.
Well, right. So the next thing I was going to say is that then it is about talking approaching, connecting with lawyers who've just spent the holiday ruminating. Did you just spend the holiday ruminating about the cases that you have in January? Did you just spend the holiday with the top three things that keep a lot of trial lawyers up at night? This and this and this.
Interesting. Yeah.
I don't want you to have a sleepless January. Let's work together. I have a special offer, two of these for the blah. And then you have to be like, how do I get that message to lawyers who are doing the kind of cases? Do I need to send emails directly to law firms? Do I need to go through, the bar association lists of members and send, like, how do you get to these people? Do you need to post things on listservs? Did you just spend the holidays ruminating about your cases in January? But that is very specific. And what you want to say right out the gate is something that makes somebody go, oh, yeah, I did. Oh, he's speaking like literally to me. And he's speaking about my pain. He's not speaking about what his business does. I help you do this, this, and this, and this. Nobody gives a shit. Till they hear that you understand their pain. Now they're like, huh? I mean, it's like you going around, you have an aspirin, and you have to find people who have headaches. And so you have to start talking about headaches. Oh my God, did you get no work today because your head feels like a bowling ball? Yes. I have an aspirin. Dear God, give it to me. Instead of, acetaminophen works much, much better than ibuprofen. And the top, it's like, I don't give a shit. Do you know I have a headache and do you have something that can help me? Then I'm curious about what your method is, but not until I know that you could solve my problem, maybe, and that you even know I have a problem.
Yeah. Reminds me a little bit of I think Simon Sinek, the what's your why? Yeah, I this is and this is something I've been trying to work on is getting better. So I like that though. Yeah, no, I'll definitely consider.
So I think what would be okay.
I just wanted to flag that I put a link in the chat for the Creating Cash Flow course that's part of your Abundance Bond membership. It's an audio course, but there's also a transcript if you prefer to learn from written word.
Awesome.
And this one section that Christine has set up this whole idea really brilliantly called the sizzle and the steak. And the idea being the sizzle is the part where, like, I understand your problem and this is the problem you need to solve. And the steak is I do it by creating a jury of seven people. I take this much time, blah, 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 is the steak. But the sizzle is, I understand you and I feel your pain and I can help you. So I find it reinforcing to read it, but you can also listen to it too if that helps you as you're ruminating.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's that's right in alignment with things I've been thinking, so it helps to clarify in a way I haven't yet.
So you have two things. You have IMEs and you have focus groups. It would be really the thing that if you wanted to generate some cash in January, it would be like, what is a lucrative for you offer that you can make around focus groups? And what's a lucrative offer that you can make around your IMEs? And then you go out and find people with the pain that those two things that you solve in those two areas. And you're like, I can help you with this. I can help you with this. I can help you with this. If you have this pain, I can help you with this. If you have this pain, I can help you with this. And you go to the people you've already worked with and say, hey, I'm looking for lawyers who have this pain. Do you know anybody I should call? Do you know anybody you could put me in contact with? Do you know anybody who has caseload for January? Like, you ask the people you've already worked with if they know people that your special offers would be really good for. You're not doing a general, like, hey, if you know anybody who wants to work, it's like, no, I have these two things. Who can use them? Very specific, very explicit, and very much talking about the pain that you alleviate, the problem that you solve.
I like that.
And I think it would be on two levels really good for you. One, on the money part, but two, also just for the exercise of taking everything off your plate except pushing through these two offers and seeing how many people you can get to bite on these two offers for January. And that would be interesting to see if that
I
moves.
agree.
But I think if you want to generate cash, it has you have to focus. One or two offer you have two separate kind of groups, and you just go after finding people with that problem, and that's all you do. So I wouldn't do the cards, I wouldn't work on your database, I wouldn't do any of that. I would just make an offer. And tell people about the offer. And when I say make an offer, it has to be sizzly. Make a sizzly offer and find people who need it. And that's all I would do for the entire month of January if I needed to make money.
It's actually kind of a relief, as you can probably well tell, because we don't really hide the things I think we're hiding. I have a very busy brain, and I get into the weeds of so many things. I am happy to go down 10 rabbit holes all at the same time, and they're all connected in my brain. I can see the connections, which is a gift, and it also really screws me up. So it's helpful to have a step back, and it's like, oh, you can release not having to do those cards. Oh. Right. I don't necessarily really want them. I know I'm going to get at them. In my mind, it's a good idea, but I've never done them before. I don't know what the results are going to be, but I don't have anything else. So it's, yeah, that kind of, I guess when I'm giving feedback, that kind of clarity you just gave me, that really helps me because it allows me to release some things that I'm having a hard time. I'm just holding on to them and I don't even want to hold on to them. And it also gives some clarity around a step to take and some parameters around which to take that step. So that was very helpful.
Awesome. Have you educated yourself and filled your toolkit with tools that help you deal with your ADHD?
It's so interesting that you called the ADHD.
Or I don't know if that's what you
Yeah,
seem to have.
I've never been diagnosed. It's more, I just tend to see a lot of connections between everything, and it's hard for me to let go of certain aspects of when I know that it's all part of the same thing. If that's ADHD, I have no idea, but
Well, the way you've described how your brain works,
If it's not
very
ADHD, it's probably something
much.
very similar because I'm taking in a lot of information at once, and I've always done that. And then it's hard for me to let certain things go in order to. I can get really hyper focused. I can get a lot of things done. It's not that I can't. It's
Yeah, those
just,
are all no, you're
yeah.
no, there's high function. 80,
Yeah.
first of all, ADHD, that is the term that seems to be the term that's not most acceptable, but the term that people use. It used to be there was ADD and ADHD, but hyperactivity disorder doesn't, that's not presenting in everybody. So ADD, but the way that you are talking about yourself and all the way, it's like, oh, these are classic hallmarks of that kind of wiring, whether or not you have the classical, I certainly can't diagnose, but I think there's material out there on the way your brain works that can give you some tools that can help you with the hyper focus and the multi-generation of ideas and the connectivity and going down the rabbit holes, because you're going to need to bring yourself, you need tools to be able to bring yourself back when you need to bring yourself back. None of that's bad. It just needs to be balanced out when you need it to go in a different direction.
Absolutely.
That makes sense. There's a really great YouTube channel called How to ADHD. And she's lovely and her videos are great. And if you start looking at her videos, YouTube will also give you other suggestions to other really good people who talk about this stuff. But if you went to her channel and just kind of looked through her videos and see, oh, that sounds like something I do, and just watch a few. because I think that finding the right tools that will help make your workflow easier for you would be very, very helpful. That would be a
Sounds
suggestion.
good.
Like take a few hours, between now and the new year
Thanks, Shay.
go down the rabbit hole of her channel. So come back in January with those two offers. And we can refine them. And then that is what I would suggest you do in January. What I would also like to talk to you about, though, is really looking at the whole of your business and trying to dial it in so that what you're offering really makes you a healthy net profit.
I would like that too. I need that outside perspective. I think I've done pretty darn well with the way that I operate and how I've been operating, but there's definitely ways I want to be able to tighten things up. And it's the brain that created it can't always work through it. So it's good to have an outside perspective.
So read that part of cash flow that Kate suggested in the chat, and then find your two offers, start deciding how you're going to put it at the last part of this year. Look around for some ADHD information, and and then we'll continue the conversation.
Sounds good. Thanks, Christine.
You're very welcome. Have a great holiday. Thanks for showing up, guys. Talk to you in the new year.
Cheers.
In the new year, our sessions are January 11 and January 18, and we're moving to Sunday mornings,
Monday
10
morning.
a.m. to 11:30. So, and they'll be recorded if that time doesn't work for you, but that's what's happening for 2026, January 11, January 18, 10 a.m. 10 a.m. Pacific time if you're in California. It'll be 1 p.m. for me here in New York. So,
All right.
thanks, everybody. Happy New Year. Thank
Happy
you.
New Year.
Happy New Year.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.